بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. فرمایا جو چیزیں خدا سے دور کرتی ہے ان سے دور رہنا تقویٰ ہے. حضرت عبداللہ خفیف رحمۃ اللہ علیہ says the taqwa, the meaning of taqwa is to stay far away from things which keep you away from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever keeps you away from Allah Ta'ala, from the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you stay far away from that. That is the meaning of taqwa. Everyone understands the clear and open sense. Every Muslim is conscious of it. Even if he commits a sin, he understands this is a sin, he makes tawbah. But besides the sins, taqwa, there is another meaning of taqwa, a higher meaning of taqwa, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained also. He says, La yamluhu al-mu'min darajat al-muttaqeen, that the mu'min will not reach the stage of the muttaqeen hatta yatruka ma la basa bihi hadram fi basun, that the mu'min will not reach the stage of the muttaqeen, of the people of taqwa. And about the people of taqwa, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, huda lil muttaqeen, that this kitab, this Quran, it is a guide for the muttaqeen. If there is no taqwa, then one will not understand the teachings of the Quran. On the contrary, one will make crooked interpretations, baseless interpretation of the ayahs of the Quran if one lacks taqwa. But by means of taqwa, the heart is purified, and then one readily understands the meaning of the ayahs also. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person will not reach the stage of the muttaqin until he abstains, stays away from things which are not wrong, permissible things. He will abstain. Why? For the fear of falling into that which is wrong, that which is not permissible. Free indulgence, excessive indulgence in permissibilities, that also is an impediment for taqwa. More permissible, but by excessively indulging in permissibilities, what happens? The nafs becomes bloated and rebellious. And then it goes a step further, and one indulges then in things which are mushtaba, doubtful. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that things which are halal are clear. Everyone understands this is halal. And what is haram, everyone understands that also. This is haram. And in between these two categories, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is another category, the mushtaba, that which is doubtful. It is doubtful. And whoever indulges in doubtful things, soon he will indulge and fall into the trap of haram. So, by not engaging in excessively in permissibilities, one becomes alert, and this is the way one gains taqwa. When one does not indulge excessively in permissibilities, then obviously one will not indulge in doubtful things in mushtaba. When you do not stay far from mushtaba, then obviously you will now gain taqwa, you will not fall into haram, and that's the way you develop thing one develop the imam. The awliya were excessive in the observation of taqwa. Hazrat Sufyan Sa'di rahimahullah says, he said, I used to make tilawat of the Quran, every ayat I recite, 70 mysteries unravel to me. 70 spiritual mysteries open up for me. It's like revelation coming from Allah Ta'ala and it gets embedded in the heart and in the mind of this great awliya. But once I drank water from my soldier, I was excessively thirsty, the soldier gave me water and I drank it. Now, he says, if I recite the entire Quran, not one bab or not one mystery opens up to me. This was the effect of what? Of drinking the water from the hands of a soldier. The water itself, there's nothing wrong with the water itself, but a soldier, generally, soldiers are oppressors, zalims, and the effect, the asar of the zulm, it gets transferred into the water. There, it was his water, so is the effect of that all got transferred into the water. Everything has an asar, an impression. One Muslim was on his journey, passed by one village, and there he slept over the night. The people came and said, "Hazrat, we've got here a jug, a lota, earthenware jug. The water in it remains hot, whether it's winter, maybe midwinter, summer, it doesn't matter what season, it's always forever lasting, the water is hot." So the asked, said, "The earth, this, you know, is made out of clay. Where you will get this clay from?" "This is the clay for the child, they took it from a Qabristan." So he said, "Okay, leave it overnight here with me." So they left it there with the husband. In the morning when they came, they came back to there and found the water was cold in it. So they were very much surprised and asked, "What has happened?" So he said, "That this clay was taken from the near to such a cover where the inmate was being punished with fire. The mayit was being punished. And the effect, that effect thing of the fire, of the punishment, it was in this clay. And because the clay, although it has been now molded into a jug, and it's far away from the Qabristan, it's here in, by you people, but it has got a connection still with the soil, which is with the clay in the Qabr, and the man was still being punished. It's like when a person dies, then the ruh leaves the body, but it retains a connection. It's far away from the body, but it has a connection with the body. For that reason, if the mayit comes in the hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if the mayit, the thing, is a pious person, and then the soul and the people delay the burial, then the soul cries out with grief, and screams and says, "Send me ahead," because it knows the wonderful place where it's going to go to, Iliyin now. So, but it depends, the first burial has to take place. And it pleads with the people. We can't hear it, but we have been informed by Mukhbir al-Sadiq, by Rasulullah Sallam, the honest one, that this takes place. So now when you give him the thing, unnecessarily delays there, so it harms and it pains that mayit, the pious person, the ruh has a connection with the body. And if that mayit is evil, it is time for sijin, for punishment, then it screams and it calls out to the people, "Where are you sending me to? Where are you sending me?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and then it cries and it calls out, and every creation except insan and jinn, beside them, they cannot hear it. And if insan had to hear what the mayit is screaming and wailing, then he will fall down unconscious. So there is a connection, the thing between, like between the soul and the body, even after it has been removed. Similarly, there is in everything, the asar remains. For that reason, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Don't sit on the skins of wild animals." Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade. The skin is parked, the skin has been purified, it has been tanned, and and all the moisture is expelled, it's part, you can even make namaz on it, it's valid, but we sometimes don't sit on it. Don't use it as a saddle or as a mat to sit on it. Why? Because the effect of that animality, of the bestiality, of the wildness of that animal, it is still in there and it's going to affect you. So in the same way, so Hazrat told him that this water here, it remains hot because of the effect of the punishment of the fire. I spent this entire night making dua unto Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, forgive that mayyat. Forgive the mayyat, Allah Ta'ala accepted dua. The mayyat was forgiven and the punishment ceased, stopped, and for that reason the water is all now cold. So that's what Hazrat Sufyan Thawri says, that mushtaba, eating there, participating, I drank of that water, which was now doubtful, and because of that, it blocked the taqwa, it blocked the nuraniyat, which is the effect of taqwa, it blocked it. That reason one has to be careful. Everyone that, you know, there's very high stages of taqwa, obviously everyone cannot aspire to it and acquire it, but we have to operate within the confines of the shariat. And this is also what the Sharia teaches, because it's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they don't give free rein to your nafs. Whatever your nafs wants, you just do it. It's permissible. Leave alone permissibility is the people's disposition, their mizaj, their disposition is so corrupt and so despoiled that if something is wrong, they know it's wrong, they ask, is it makruh? Or is it makruh tahrimi? Or is it makruh tanzihi? Mashaykh says that you must understand that when you regard a sin to be light, small, you are regarding Allah Ta'ala to be small. You are regarding Him to be small. No sin, no matter how the fuqaha have categorized the sins into different categories. This is wajib, this is haram, and this is makruh tahrimi, tanzih. Every sin, that thing, every sin, but it is big. For when you do practically, it doesn't matter what fiqh category it has been assigned to, it is a big sin, because one understands that you are dealing with a great person, that is with Allah Ta'ala.